Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's live conference call on this Tuesday, January 26, 2016. This is Peyman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School. And I conduct these conference calls for two reasons. Number one, to answer your freedom questions. If you're having a concern or challenge with living free, if the IRS, a state income tax agency, the police, or any government agent is harassing you, wants to take your money, your rights, your freedom away, I'm here to help you respond, help you understand the law and your rights and the proper procedures so you can live free. That's why at livefreenow.org, at Freedom Law School's website, have a lot of information there available for you. That's why if you get on our email list of Freedom Law School, you'll be mailed once a month for free education material on how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. The other reason is I'm going to be educating you guys once a week about various issues in these classes. Today, I'll talk about the Income Tax Amendment, the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So what you want to do is go to livefreenow.org, folks, our website. Get on our email list. Go to our Facebook, become a fan of Freedom Law School, and we will be in touch with you. You find yourself a very unique source on the Internet. You really did. You will not find another source like Freedom Law School with our record of success and documented wins against the IRS. I believe there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. It's a huge fraud. It's a big lie. And folks, we've lost the control of our government. We no longer have in America a government by, of, and for we the people. We have a government by the big banks and the big billionaires who the money, with the money they buy off the politicians. And doesn't matter whether you vote for Hillary Clinton or Ted Cruz or any of these guys on both sides, but the only exception is Rand Paul. You know, Goldman Sachs gives money to Ted Cruz, the conservative Republican, as well as the liberal Democrat, Clinton. So they own both. Doesn't matter which one gets elected. They own them both. They also own the big banks and corporations, own the major media in this country. The ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, even PBS, with their donations, they control them too. And all the major newspapers in America. So you find yourself a source of truthful information because the truth shall set you free. And Freedom Law School with education and solutions is a source for you to live free, as well as work with other like-minded freedom seekers like yourself, so we can hopefully ultimately return freedom to America. So if you go to our website, you're going to see I have many course packages available for you. These course packages are designed to help you live free by educating you, empowering you, and providing you assistance and even representation if necessary to have you live free. You can have victories as well. It's a matter of choice. With Freedom Law School on your side, it's only your choice to live free or remain a slave, because you find yourself a solution source that actually works. I've started Freedom Law School 20 years ago, folks. That's right. This month is the 20-year anniversary of Freedom Law School, educating Americans to live free and winning for individuals and winning for America. So share your friends this unique source that you've come across on the Internet. Tell your friends about us on your Facebook pages. Okay, so folks, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to see if anybody has any questions. If there's a question, I will answer it any freedom or question you have. And if there's no questions, then I'm going to go on the subject of the talk I'll be giving you today about the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So there's a caller that we have from area code 213. Do you have a question at this time, sir? If so, please give me your first name and let me know you have a question.
Anthony, my question is, if you are a non-filer and they come after you, can they prosecute you 1 year for every year you're not filed, or what's 1 year for all the years you're not filed?
That's a very good question, Anthony. If the IRS wants to come after you, whether you file income tax confession forms or you don't, whether you pay income tax or you don't, either way, every year is a separate taxable event, and every year is potentially a separate criminal charge. So, yes, 2014 is separate from 2013, is separate from 2012. All are separate years. What the IRS, however, does do usually when they do pick a target, whether you file 1040 confession forms or misnamed returns or not file them, is they like to show a pattern of behavior to the jury, that is to judge you, 12 American citizens, that this is not some accident but was some deliberate actions by you that you repeated year after year after year. So they typically come after someone for about 4 to 6 years of doing the same thing on your 1040 form, the same what the government claims is a lie or a mistake on your tax 1040 form or not filing. They typically come after you for 4 or 5 years, minimum of 3 years, because they need that to show the pattern there. Does that help you, Anthony?
Yes. So if that is the case, what should one do? Also, if you have a notice of delinquency and you did not answer in 30 days or whatever the time limit is there any recourse for the tax lien?
Okay. You asked several questions in one.
Okay.
It's notice of delinquency. If the IRS contacts you with a notice of delinquency, and then you said tax liens, they're separate things. Let me see if I can help you clarify your question first. Someone who doesn't file 1040 form for 1 year or more, the IRS may, and sometimes does, send you a letter essentially asking you for your 1040 income tax confession form, asking you if you haven't filed to file a 1040 confession form. So that would be, in my eye, the notice of delinquency that you are talking about. To the IRS, you're being delinquent. That's in their view, although they don't know your situation anyhow. Now, a tax lien, on the other hand, is after many legal letters the IRS is required by law to send you, have been sent out, and eventually got to be a tax lien filed against anything that you own, which are usually filed in the county recorder's office. So if you have any real estate in your name that you own and that you sell or refinance that real estate or home, the IRS gets paid first before you get any money out of the deal. So which one are you referring to? Could you be more specific, please, Anthony?
Actually, I was referring to both. So you answered both of the questions with regards to that.
And I'm going to elaborate on that for you a little bit. There is a progression of letters that the IRS sends out that from the time that the IRS first sends a letter to you asking or inquiring about your 1040 form until they eventually possibly file a lien against you. There's a bunch of letters, over a half a dozen letters the IRS sends out. So this is not an automatic process, and this process can take from the time they send out the first letter to you until a lien takes at least a year of letters that is sent out to you, if not longer, if not 5 years or 8 years. So it's not a quick thing the person thinks. And there are things that you can and should do to challenge the IRS with some of these letters. Some of these letters are completely harmless. Some of them are only meant to scare you into submission, and you file a 1040 income tax confession form on your own because it scared you with the letter. However, some other ones are legally important and provide you legal protections, provide you an opportunity to challenge the IRS's tax claims. And those ones, you should seriously consider using those opportunities to challenge the IRS. So when you sign up on our for our email list, to be on our email list, that letter, which is called the progression of the letters the IRS sends out, and others will be sent to you to educate you about these things. Now, if you want to get a real quick head start on all this and more, I think everybody should have, at the minimum, the very first course of Freedom Law School, which is called A Tickle Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1. I call it Level 1 for short. This Level 1 course is what I believe every American should have studied before they became 18 years old out of high school as an adult. You should have that kind of knowledge. This is where we should have been taught that course or something like it coming out of high school, but the government schools are failing us to teach us about our rights. Even universities don't teach you this stuff, and even law schools don't do a very good job of teaching lawyers many of these things. Okay, so I teach you those things, and so all these issues that you're asking more are covered in there. And this course has been since over 16 years, since 1999, only $300. It's over 20 hours of audio, an hour and a half of video, over 200 pages of paperwork, and it comes with a 100% unconditional money-back guarantee. You be the judge if it's good information, if it's solid, if it works for you, if you like it. If you don't, send it back. I'll give you money back. And if you need more than 90 days, no problem. I just want to give you a chance to listen. I give you, 6 months, a year if you want, to go through to make sure you're satisfied. Call me, let me know. Because I know this is what you want, what you need. You just didn't know that this is available. And that's why I give such a generous money-back guarantee. And all of the courses of Freedom Law School and all Freedom Packages have the Level 1 course as its prerequisite. It is a foundation of everything else that Freedom Law School does and teaches, is understanding and knowing these very basic things that in Level 1 course are covered. And it covers this exact question that you're asking, Anthony, in much more detail, my friend.
One last thing, if I may. What is it when they make an assessment which will tell you this is what you owe?
Well,
when they file for you.
Assessment is like evaluation. If you look up in the dictionary, assessments to evaluate. Assess or evaluate something. So, or determine. So assessment means the IRS has determined or made a decision that you owe them a certain amount of money, whether it's $5,000 or $5 million. That's all it is. So based upon that, then the IRS can come try to take your money by force. They come to your employer, someone that pays you money like commissions or or payments or bank account, and try to take that from you, or take you home. That perhaps that's what that is.
Can you stop it?
Yes, you can stop it. That's exactly why I teach you these things. The Level 1 course, which is 9 classes, in those 9 classes, class number 5, I'll talk about effective responses to IRS letters. In short, you can challenge IRS in when you get the notice of deficiency. You can challenge IRS in tax court. That's a good opportunity to challenge the IRS. Another opportunity to challenge IRS would be in a collection due process hearing. That's after assessment. You can challenge them and remove the assessment. The other ways you can challenge the tax, which are not as popular or as favorable, is in a bankruptcy court, which understandably people don't want to do usually bankruptcy court. And the other way, last way, is to pay the tax in full and sue for a refund. Well, who has the money or wants to pay a tax in full first and get it back later on? So that's why generally the first two ways, going to tax court with a notice of deficiency or a collection due process hearing, are the best ways for most people to challenge the IRS's taxes from being imposed in the first place, or once they're imposed, have them be removed.
And I can learn all of that from one of your courses.
The level one course, I'll cover all this and in more detail. You notice right now, we've been talking for less than 10 minutes, Anthony, and I was able to give you some effective responses, answers to your questions.
Oh, now,
imagine this multiplied a lot more by 100 times. I can do it in over 20, over 20 hours. I take my time with level one course, and I talk about all these issues in more detail. I show you the paperwork. I show you the law, the IRS code section that applies. You actually see the law in your hand in the paperwork. We actually read the law and the most relevant parts of it, and so you understand these things very clearly for yourself as to what's going on, what are your best options on what you should do.
How much is that level one course?
It's only $300 with $20 for priority mail shipping. That's all.
That's it? Okay. All right. Then I'll figure out it. Send it to you. No problem. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then what you want to consider then, look at other packages, you know, that we got and say, well, that's a start. Do you want to just be educated? And if you do, that's all you do, level one course, it's a great start. Let me tell you why. Because level one course not just educates you, but it tells you the most common mistakes that people make that you should avoid, and that's a big deal. A lot of times people do a lot of the wrong things that are on internet that actually invites the IRS to come after you or come after you harder. So I'll tell you what not to do. Don't make a lot of these common mistakes people make. Number two, I tell you what a lot of things to do, a lot of preparations you can do, and also when to respond to the IRS, and if when you respond, basically how to respond. So the very specific how to is there. See, that's why when I was in my 20s, I was coming out of university, I just love how to do books. To this day, I love how to do books. Somebody study the subject, how to build your own, put your own computer together, or, you know, make your own desk, you know, if I want to fix your own car. Man, they someone with expertise, if that's what I want to do, made the mistakes, knows how to do it right, tells me, here's a shortcut, do it right by just listening to me. I love how to do books. So when I put the level one course together, I had that in mind. I did not want to just give you a theoretical book that, okay, that's nice to know, but what do I do now? No, I didn't want to leave people in the dark. I want to give you education and I tell you now, here's what you do exactly, step by step. So level one course will get a great start in that. But I found out that over the years that people, you know, wanted me to handle the responses for them. They were insisting, okay, I do want that educated, but I really need help to make sure I win. And that's why eventually I put out programs like the Royal Freedom Package, our top-of-the-line program, that, you know, yeah, get the responses for you and, you know, that you need to do to actually win. So between the level one course and the Royal Freedom Package, if you see on the course packages, there's several options available. The more you go up to a Royal Freedom Package, the more it provides for you. Look to see which one is the most comfortable for you. But if you want just to check things out, level one course would be a great way for you to start checking out Freedom Law School on our education material. And then you can upgrade later on if you wish.
I definitely would do that. I have a lot more questions, but I'm not going to hold up. I know there are other people.
Well, here's the thing about these calls. We get a lot more people, Anthony, that listen to these calls afterwards and download them, listen to it in the car or on a cell phone or a computer at home. So on this call right now, you're the only person with a question. So I'm going to get to the subject of the – unless you have further questions, you're invited to ask them right now, my friend. That's not a problem.
Okay. I do have one more question.
Yes, sir.
Looking up, listening to the stuff on YouTube last night, and I was doing some research on Mr. – is it Bannister?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
There's some kind of information on there that there was some other actions that took place last year in 2015. Is any of that correct?
I'm not sure what actions about 2015 you're talking about, Joe Bannister.
I think it says specifically that were pursuing him again, and now that they're stating that they charge him for making the frivolous accusations, I guess, with regards to the law, that which you talk about, the $25,000 and all that kind of stuff, tax stuff. Is any of that true, or is that just some propaganda?
Okay. Well, no, what that is they're talking about, I looked up on internet what it is that they're talking about, is the fact that in the tax court, Joe Bannister lost the case in tax courts. Okay. And what happened is that, you know, this government in America we have doesn't represent the people anymore. The legislature by control the big banks. It works for them. They pick the candidates, so whoever wins doesn't matter. The main candidate, most of them. Exceptions, Rand Paul, Ron Paul, a few of those. So the executive, same thing, the president, you know, is a very powerful position. They that guy's always controlled. And the judges, you know, they get this siege mentality, government officials, that, oh, without income tax, we have no money to run this country, to pay for roads and schools and protect us from terrorists and criminals and this war and terror and all the bad guys going to take over, hurt Americans. We have to have the income tax, otherwise there'd be no America. That's the mentality that takes over. Just like in the third world communist dictatorship, you'd expect, in a former Soviet Union. Okay, so the courts are not doing their job of being an independent third branch of the government. I looked at the law honestly. So when Joe Bannister went to tax court, when the IRS came after him, he went to court. The court ignored his arguments. That's all. Just ignore it. You know, it's like you argue about A, they don't address your arguments, period. Or they change your argument from A to B and address that. Now, you wouldn't know that the tax court, ignored Joe Bannister's arguments unless you had read what Joe Bannister filed with the court. But that, it's not easy for you to get what Joe Bannister filed. What you can easily find is what the tax court published in that case. That you can find very easily. Okay? So that's what you found out there. But here's the other side. The IRS and the courts know Joe Bannister is right. IRS in particular knows. Okay? Because the kid, Joe Bannister, he quit IRS in 1999, exposed income tax fraud. The IRS indicted Joe Bannister in 2003 or 2004, okay? And they had him on trial in 2005, okay? Like, I'm going to look it up right now on internet to give you more exact information on that, the indictment. what happened is that criminal tax case, when they want to put somebody in jail, in that case, the government has to prove their case not to a fellow government judge, a government employee who gets paid by the government, who has an interest in the income tax system existing, because that will, he doesn't have to worry about his paycheck getting affected because of government having less money. Okay, so they have to prove it to 12 American citizens, who must all of them agree that the person is guilty. That's a much harder thing. not the two being 12 regular Americans, have them all agree this guy's guilty, as opposed to regular civil over civil's money case like in tax court, where you just got to convince a government biased judge to go along with the IRS lawyer who says, hey, this guy's wrong. Okay? So the government, when they came after Joe Barrister in 2003 and they charged him criminally, they never charged him for not having filed a 1040 income tax confession form, even though he has not filed and paid income tax for 2000, 2001, 2002. He hasn't filed and paid income tax. 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He has not filed and paid income tax to government. The government never came after him criminally for not filing 1040 form. Well, they did come after him for was in the 2005 trial was the fact that he gave a speech to a guy named Al Thompson in California to his employees about Joe Barrister's research about the income tax. And they had the video of that, and they said, hey, because of that, Joe Barrister conspired with this guy to cheat the government. The other thing Joe Barrister did to have this guy fill out he paid Joe Barrister to fill out his tax return based upon an 861 argument to get his money back that he had paid the IRS. And Joe Barrister helped him fill out the paperwork legally correct based upon his argumentation. So that's what they did. And there's nothing wrong about that. The jury found Joe Barrister not guilty. There was no evidence of Joe Barrister doing anything wrong. But again, what's even bigger than that is the government knew Joe Barrister had not filed and paid income tax. They did not even dare charge Joe Barrister with failure to file a tax return charge on the IRS Code Section 7203. They would not even dare to do that because the government would know that the Joe Barrister would actually end up putting the government on trial because he would get to show the jury that I was one of them, a criminal investigator, an accountant with a gun for the government. And I came to his conclusions about income tax fraud, wrote a book about it, gave it to my boss in California, who sent it to the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division headquarters in Washington, D.C., to refute my book because I was reporting fraud and abuse to the government, which I was supposed to do. That was part of my job. And the response came directly from Washington, D.C., that the IRS will not respond to my report about income tax being a fraud on American people. And after that, I was flown from California to Washington, D.C. more than once by a nonprofit foundation called We the People to debate the government about this issue, debate the IRS, the lawyers of the government, the Department of Injustice, Congress, the president, and they never show up. No one for government ever shows up to any of these public debates to debate Joe Barrister on the illegality of income tax. See, all that would go to the jury. And there were even U.S. Today ads paid with Joe Barrister picture on him to tell the American people, hey, there's a problem here. The government is lying to us. None of this stuff, if this stuff goes before the average American juror, they're going to go, wow, incredible. Because you see, the average American lives under the delusion that they think that we still have a government by, of, and for we the people. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's not that way. They're saying these are just wonderful elected officials, just the guy happens to win the election, gets more votes. They all try to do the right thing. They just, you ask them to show you the law to you, ask you to correct you. They'll just do that. They'll correct you. They'll show you the law. Right? I mean, they're not a bunch of corrupt criminals running this country. No, no, we have a democracy, the average American voter juror thinks. That, well, of course there's a law requiring everybody to file an income tax. That's what the average juror thinks. And they think, well, obviously if you ask them to show you the law, they would show it to you, right? That should be easy to do. We all file and pay income tax because obviously there is a law that requires all of us to file and pay income tax, right? But why is the government answering to a barrister when he was one of their agents? He was given a gun to enforce the law. Why don't they show their own criminal gun-carrying enforcer of the law they're supposed to enforce? Why don't they show it to him even afterwards? They won't even debate him publicly. Wow. Wait a minute. Maybe we have been pulled the wool in our eye, so the jury would have acquitted Joe Barrister. And the government lawyers knew that, obviously. The Commissioner of Internal Revenue, okay, he himself spoke about Mr. Everson, about Joe Barrister. You know, the IRS comes after about a couple thousand people every year criminally. Guess what? Joe Barrister was one of the very few of the people who were criminally charged by the IRS that the Commissioner of Internal Revenue himself, Mr. Everson, spoke about Joe Barrister personally. And he said, and I quote very close, Joe Barrister was a former IRS agent. He knew what he was doing. Yes, Mr. Everson. Joe Barrister certainly knew what he was doing. And so did the IRS and the higher management of the IRS that runs it. Okay? And the IRS knew and deliberately chose not to prosecute Joe Barrister criminally for not having filed a 1040 income tax confession form, because they knew there was no law requiring Joe Barrister or the average American to file income tax. And they knew that if they came after Joe Barrister criminally, in effect, the government would themselves on trial before 12 American jurors. And acquittal of Joe Barrister of not having filed income tax return charges, these 12 American jurors would have been devastating public relations to the government. Devastating. So they made a clever decision, the government, that we want to silence Joe Barrister, shut him up, but let's not go after him for not having filed 1040 income tax return confession form charges. Let's try to get him some other charges. Let's get him tied to his loose cannon, you know, and Al Thompson, and get the loose cannon like a lead weight, bring him down. That tactic didn't work. But with a tax court, yeah, no problem. You know, we just get a government buddy judge of us to go along with the program. You know, come on, we got to, yeah, obviously, we haven't been American people for decades following income tax and paying trillions in tax illegally, right? We're not been putting tens of thousands of Americans in jail illegally, you know, over all these decades. You know, hundreds of thousands now, and with the active participation of the judges themselves, illegally, right? I'm not going to be one judge saying this is all was a bunch of giant fraud by the government, right? I'm not going to expose the American people that they lost the control of the government, right? And I'm not going to bring out the revolution in this country by waking them up, right, by this ruling. So I'm just going to nail Joe Barrister. So that is what you see happen in tax court, basically. So that's why when I go when I help my student with tax court, I don't argue the fundamentals of income tax like Joe Barrister did in his case, courageously. He did. He courageously argued the fundamental issues about the income tax, which the court simply didn't address, and they just labeled his arguments as frivolous. No discussion of Joe Barrister's arguments. No quoting the laws that Joe Barrister quoted. And then they say, now, here's what Joe Barrister quotes the law. That's what he says. Well, this doesn't apply because of this and that and the other specifically. None of that. None of that whatsoever. They just label his arguments as frivolous and rule against him. There's the same tactic as a child. I remember, you may remember, and growing up in the 1960s and 70s and 80s, that was used in a former communist Soviet Union in Russia. political dissidents there, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn and others, were bringing up arguments based upon the Soviet Constitution that they have rights that the government cannot break, but they're breaking it anyhow. And the Soviet judges would punish them, shut them up, put them in jail, fine them for bringing up those arguments based upon the Soviet Constitution. That's what we got going on in America today, Anthony. So did I give you a better perspective of this whole what happened to Joe Manchin situation?
Yeah, I was just wanted to make sure that, you know, that just get an understanding of it and reading. I knew you had an answer for it. I just wanted to just put it before you. And, you know, you are very consistent in what you say and what you teach. And I just think if more of us get aware, then, you know, more of us will be sitting in those juror seats to help those who are aware.
Exactly, exactly, my friend. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School, by the way, Anthony?
I've been following you for a long time, just the effort at that point economically to do what I needed to do, but now I'm in a position to do that, so I want to make sure that I get it done and, you know, get under your tutelage and the ability to be able to prepare myself for what's coming in a proper way no matter what happens.
Okay. Very good. By the way, I'll make it one little minor correction. I just reviewed on the internet a little bit in my files. Joe Manchin was actually indicted in November 2004. So he had not filed and paid income tax for the year 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, for 4 years in a row. He would have been a perfect guy to show. He had a pattern of not filing and paying income tax deliberately. The government knew that. But the IRS deliberately didn't come after Joe Manchin, because if they had done that, of course, they would have put the government on trial. So very good, Anthony. Thanks for calling. Do you have any other questions before I go to another call we have right now with questions, perhaps?
I do have more questions, but I'm going to let you go to another caller. If there's nobody there, you can come back to me for my question. I'm going to be sending you what you need so I can forward my paperwork to you and get a review of it.
And if you want to, if you got paperwork to review, what you want to start with probably is a Quick Start Freedom Package. The Quick Start Freedom Package includes a level one course and 1 hour consultation to go over your situation, your paperwork. Sometimes I have people in the past ask me, well, I need some of your guidance right now. I want to get my mind cleared up of my situation, but I do want to get the education. I don't want to just do this little 1 hour consultation. That's it. And 1 hour consultation is $240. For 1 hour. The level one course is 300 plus 20 shipping. So it's combined, that would be 560. So what I thought, well, why force people to make a choice? Let me give you a better deal if you want to get both. So I put the 1 hour consultation and level one course combined into 560 for only $490. So you save yourself $70. And get the one-on consultation, look at your paperwork that you got, your situation, questions you have specific to you, and still get the level one education that will help you now in the future continue to educate and prepare you as well. So you may want to do that if that's what you're interested in.
There's a course above that, and in that course, do you actually get trained by you how to put the paperwork in? What course shows you, you know, after I do the paperwork, you say, hey, that's correct, turn that in? Do you have a course like that?
The level one course actually do talk about a lot of that stuff. It does. But it doesn't do – here's what happened. This is a very good question you bring up, actually. I help my students to win the IRS based upon the IRS being such arrogant, lazy government workers. Okay? They take shortcuts they should not take. They don't follow the law. They don't follow their own procedures they're supposed to follow. That's how you can beat them. You know, they don't keep records. They take shortcuts. They cheat, you know. So I found that but if I were to expose those ways that I beat the IRS specifically in my courses, the IRS naturally would buy my courses and say, hey, this guy studied us like a unpaid consultant. We paid him for a level one course, $300. He told us exactly the stuff we're doing wrong, that people get to beat us. So let's go fix our systems. We had some glitches in our system that this guy's taking advantage of, some cracks in our system. Payment on Freedom Law School has identified those. let's go correct them so these guys cannot beat us anymore. These American people and patriots cannot beat us. Well, that would be the dumbest thing I could do, right? To help the enemy become a better enemy. So that's why I don't put those things out there, okay? For that reason. So that's why if you want to take advantage of that, us doing the right things for you to beat the IRS of those technicalities, you want to get the Royal Freedom Package because that includes the responses that needs to be done to help you beat the IRS. And it'd be all done at no extra charge. All the responses, all the letters to the IRS, to the tax court, to any level, you know, court of claims, federal district court, whatever, all of it is included at just membership of the program, as long as you just maintain your Royal Freedom Package membership, which is $6,000 for the first year. Second year is $3,500 per year, or $4,000 for Californians. As long as you maintain that, it all will be taken care of for you. The other ones that you see below that, the Simple Freedom Package, Beginner Freedom Package, Quick Start, all of them are basically like parts of the Royal Freedom Package. So you get parts of it. That's what they are, but you get the complete program that adds the full responses to IRS letters and correspondence included at no extra charge is the Royal Freedom Package.
Okay, so the other packages that teach you how to respond yourself.
They teach you, no, what the level one course, though, let me elaborate. The Beginner's Freedom Package, what it is, for example, you see that. The Beginner's Freedom Package is the level one course. And also what it does, it educates you further about the income tax and some other freedom material. And what it also does is I help you send letters to your congressmen and senators about the legality of income tax. In other words, I will help you send the Joe Berenson report and his speech at our 2000 Freedom Rally, and the C-SPAN debate that he was there to speak with the government, debate the government, that the government didn't show up in July 99, and the U.S. Today ads that We the People Foundation exposed Joe Berenson's research to the world in print. All those, and Mr. Bob Schultz, We the People who put all this public debates with Joe Berenson and the government, he organized it all. All that will be sent to your congressmen and senators. And you are going to demand that your two senators and your congressmen, who each took an oath to be able to have a seat in government. Without the oath to uphold the Constitution, a senator, congressman cannot be a congressman, senators. They may get the votes, but unless they take that oath to uphold the Constitution, they cannot sit in Congress. Neither can the President of the United States. You know, if Obama had refused to take the oath to uphold the Constitution, he would not have been able to take the office of President, even though he won the votes. So you ask these guys, hey, you guys took an oath to uphold the Constitution, just like Joe Berenstein. And here's his research that, you know, the income tax is a fraud. So I've looked at all this stuff, I've read it all, and I found him. He makes sense. The TV relies upon the talk about this stuff. Bill Benson, Conklin, Larry Beecraft, you know, all these others, you know, Freedom Law School, they all make sense. They seem to be correct. But you know what? I want to make sure I'm doing things right. I'm asking you. I'm asking you, the lawmaker, the legislative branch of government, the senators and congressmen, they are the ones that make the law. I'm asking you, to you make an independent and analysis of all this Joe Berenstein report and his findings and all this that the IRS refused to do, I want you to do it. And you tell me, is he wrong or right? If he's wrong, show me, specifically show me how Joe Berenstein is wrong. Okay? And I want you to do that. That's your duty. You must do that. You are there to uphold the Constitution. That's your job. Without that oath, you could not be there. If you don't do that oath, basically, you don't have it. You don't belong there. You should leave. Now, unless you're going to live by your oath, what use is the oath? You just take an oath and then, you know, piss on it away, literally, ignore it, Come on. You got to do that. You got to look at this thing issue seriously. So we help you write to them and wait for a response. Now, I always invite people, look, if your House of Representatives member and your two senators, either one of them, any of them, show you the law that requires you to file and pay income tax, if they can show you the things that Joe Bannister in his report to the IRS about income tax fraud is wrong, go ahead. Go ahead and file and pay the federal income tax for all the years you haven't filed and paid and the future. Go ahead. Because they showed you the law. They showed you how Joe Bannister is wrong. But if they don't, then the government has become a bunch of criminals, lawbreakers. In fact, Jason Furman of the White House economic advisor in the Clinton White House. He told Bob Scholz of We the People Foundation when he was trying to get the White House to send somebody to debate Joe Bannister on the income tax. He told on behalf of the White House that the legality of income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. Think about that, folks. The legality of income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. That means that the government don't care if they are taking your money illegally or not. Legally or not. Doesn't matter. They just want the money. Just like a common thief. They want the money. To the politicians, the people in government, it's only about the money. And that would be part of your letter also. Is that the case? If they don't refute you, they're admitting that's what's going on. Then we get a bunch of criminals and thieves taking over the United States government. And you have a right, you have a duty, Anthony, to resist tyranny, to resist criminals and murderers and thieves, to fight back and defend yourself and your family from criminals and thieves who have taken over the U.S. government. Why should you feed the beast? Why should you give money to a criminal thief? Because they're able to successfully take over the United States government and hide under the facade of, I'm your government. I'm here to help you. I represent you, when they actually don't. When they become now criminals, wolves in sheep's clothing. So you send that to Congress and senators. Let's see what they get, what response they give. Extra copies I provide for you also to keep for yourself, to educate. So that's the beginner's freedom package, which is only $900. That's a step up for level one course, includes the level one course and this additional education material I just described to you. Above that, the Simple Freedom Package, what it does, it includes unlimited consultation by telephone or in person. So any questions, any concerns you have about the law, your rights, the government, freedom, IRS, traffic tickets, bureaucrats of any kind harassing zoning officials, you're going to get unlimited support. I can help you with all that, help you do the right thing, don't make mistakes. Also, because I happen to have been back in the 1980s, I had gotten my degree in business administration, studied economics and finance. I was a mortgage agent for 6 months, and over 6 years, I was a financial planner. So I know a lot about money, business, real estate, investments, financial planning as well. And that relates a lot to your freedom and taxes. And home, it all relates. I help with all those areas also. You get unlimited consultation with investment, real estate, planning of your life, with finances, your family, so you can make better decisions and be more successful. And also, the Simple Freedom Package includes a criminal legal defense fund. So in case the government comes after you criminally, then, freedom laws can be there to with an attorney to defend you. Paralegal and attorneys necessary. so you can win, okay, in case they come after you criminally, which is rare, but it can happen. And a simple fair and package is $4,000 for the first year and only $1,200 for second year and each year thereafter. And the Royal Fair and Package, it has all that simple fair and package offers, but it adds the last part that most everybody wants and desires. They say, pay me, I love all that education. I love writing to my colleagues and senators and getting the guidance because, you know, if they don't show you the law, if they come after you criminally, guess what? If they come after you criminally, you put the government on trial the same way Joe Bannister put the government on trial, would have put the government on trial, because you just did what Joe Bannister did at your level. You could fund the government about income tax just like Joe Bannister yourself personally. Not just a letter. You wrote a letter and his book and his videos on DVD. You spend money to ship it out to your congressmen, senators. You know, the videos and the books and everything. You know, you were serious about this thing. So the Royal Fair and Package includes all that and the letter writing. Any letters they write, if they summon you to appear before them, they want to propose taxes against you, assess you, you know, levies, anything that happens, you know, all that, they want to take your house away. All the responses will be probably done by Freedom Law School for you to give you so you can win. We don't win always. I'm not guaranteeing that I'm a magician. No, I'm not claiming that. But Freedom Law School has an impeccable track record of success that over the years gotten better and better and better. Since 2001, when I started the Royal and Simple Freedom Package, we've gotten better and better and better. And I wish I knew now. When I knew back in 2001, I knew what I know now. But hey, we always get better in life with more experience and more success grows. So now is the best time to ever join our program because the fact that we get all these years of success, track record of success behind us, which you can see under our victories. In fact, we got so many victories, I stopped putting them on. It's like, how many more victories do I have to put on there to show that we win against the IRS, you know? But I got more. I got to put on there. So when I get a chance, I put more of them up there on our victories page of Freedom Law School. So does that explain your options a little bit better for you, Anthony?
Yes, it does. Thank you so very much. I'll let you get to your conference call.
Okay. Very good. Now, let's now go to a different caller. We got from area code 916. Is someone with a question? The call from area code 916. Do you have a question?
I do have a question, Piedmont. This is Al. Normally I call from area code 951. I think the last week I might have asked you a question in regards to starting a business. I'm starting a business, but I wanted to find out: do I have to give pertinent information to them in regarding business licenses and so forth, so to be able to purchase their product at wholesale?
Like I said last time, buying product from wholesale is mostly a matter between what they want to agree with you, how much they want to sell it to you. They don't need that stuff. I mean, if you want to go with Staples or supermarket or like Walmart, buy something, they ask for your tax ID number before they sell you something. So why would the wholesaler be any different? They shouldn't need that. They're just afraid. Because their account is some, oh, you got to get that stuff from them, but they don't.
So I don't have to put that down on the form?
No, you don't have to, but they're going to probably ask you about that.
Yeah, well, they're asking.
They're concerned about the sales tax issue. They're concerned about the sales tax, okay? So what you could do, you say, look, I'll pay the sales tax up front. I'll buy it wholesale, and you charge me sales tax, I'll pay it to you. So sales tax is paid. The government gets its money, the sales tax, which is authorized by law, is paid up front. The problem is these wholesalers don't want to collect and send the sales tax. They just want to be wholesalers. They don't want to collect the sales tax themselves. That's why they resist. You know, they want you to have a sales tax license so that you collect the sales tax. They don't want to deal with the bureaucracy of having to collect sales tax and pay the government, even though many of them, they do retail sales also. So that's your challenge, my friend. Now, also, if you buy from a seller, a supplier who's out of your state, they're much more likely to deal with you without a problem than someone in your state. In other words, because there's no tax between states. So if you're from California, if your supplier is from Nevada, Arizona, Texas, someplace else, they don't have a problem wholesaling to you without all this information, whereas someone from California, you know, who's a wholesaler, probably don't want to stay wholesaler, doesn't want to do retail, and they don't want to collect the sales tax. That's what your challenge is, my friend.
Okay. Now, I have another question for you. As far as purchasing property is concerned, I had a little experience in building a few homes about 5-6 years ago, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the possibility of purchasing property to start that venture once again. You have experience at being able to purchase a property without having to give that pertinent information to the government agencies?
What information you don't want to give to what government agencies exactly?
Well, you know, they want to know who you are. You know, they want all the basic information, you know, when you go down to, you know, to buy the land and give them all the money for licenses and all that stuff. They want to know who you are. They want to know your tax information. You know,
there are many ways you can do that to get more privacy, yes. There's many ways you can do that, to buy land or home privately. And I can tell you about that also privately if you want. Yes, there are different ways you can do it. Some cost more, some are better than others, but cost more, some are, you know, so different ways. Land is different than buying a home, perhaps, you know. Yes, you can do that.
Okay, so it can be done.
It can be done, yes.
Okay. Okay, so is that in the Freedom Information Package that you're talking about, or is that something a private consultation?
That's something that I'm a private consultation, because, you know, I cover that. Because I got to make sure, you know, what you want to do, I got to make sure that it's there. Now, I do talk about how to buy, I have a course on how to buy a home with no tax return, no slave surveillance number, social security number, no credit, no bank loan. That course is available, you see, on our website under course packages. That covers that issue for you. How you can buy with that, and buy a home with privacy. That's included in there too, and estate planning included. So you may want to get that course.
Now, what does that course run? I forgot to look it up.
It's $130 plus $10 for shipping.
Okay, and is that all cash?
That's all cash for you. Freedom Law School does not take credit cards or checks or money order, just cash. Uh-huh. And gold and silver.
For some reason, I thought you said you took cash and you took wasn't a money order, but it was something else. Another form of
cash. You know, we take cash, just cash, uh-huh.
Cash, okay. All right, I'll take a look at it and so forth. Okay. If I have any more questions, then I'll get back to you.
No problem. Freedom Law School will be here. These conference calls are here to answer your questions, my friend. Okay? And you, like I said, you may want to do also a one-on-one consultation, and you can do separately for 241 for 1 hour. You might want to get the level one course and the one-hour consultation with the Quick Start Freedom Package to save yourself money that way. It's up to you, my friend. You have options. So, and you're welcome to, of course, call these conference calls on a more regular basis again.
Okay, I appreciate that.
You're welcome, my friend. Okay, let's go to the caller we have from Erica 248. Do you have a question? The caller from Erica 248.
Hi. No, this is my first time, and I called at just the right moment. I almost didn't call, but I just got a call from the state of Michigan a couple seconds before I was deciding to call you. It's like, okay, yeah, I guess today's the day. I better get at this. So thank you so much for being there. Just found out about you, and so I'll be digging in. Thank you.
Oh, you are most welcome. Yes, yes. Keep educating yourself. That's the great way to go. Thanks for being on the call. The call from area code 704. Do you have any questions from Freedom Law School today?
Hey, how you doing, Pimon?
Good, thank you.
Hello?
Yes,
sir. All right. I just got a quick question.
What's your name, by the way? What's your name, sir?
My name is Ra'el.
spell that, please?
R-A-E-L.
R-A-E-L. Thank you, sir. Continue, Ryle. You were saying?
I'm dealing with a situation. My dad recently passed away, and three women came forward claiming to be his wife, and I found out who his real wife was. It died 4 months before him, and he left three estates out there. So I'm trying to figure out. I did an authentication process with the birth certificate and everything, so I'm just trying to figure out my next move on this. Maybe I need to get a consultation call with you or whatever.
Well, to be honest with you, I deal with issues of oppressive taxation and control. That's, you know, what I do is really political legal. Freedom of lawsuit is political legal. What I mean by that is that, you know, freedom is political politics, the people in power, but it's law at the same time. So it's political legal combined. What you have is a completely a non-political thing. It has nothing to do with the politics of who's in power. It's a complete private affair of, you know, hey, your dad, you know, had got not one himself a wife, but three wives, and left a little bit of mess behind for you to sort out. So this is not something that I would do. I'm not an attorney, I don't, you know, because attorneys give legal advice for this kind of stuff. I do what I do because what I do is political, not just legal. Now, I do help people with legal stuff they got, because the legal that stuff that I help with is legal and political stuff is protected by First Amendment right to free speech and association. We have a right to work together to restore our freedom. That's what it's about, you know, what I do. So you probably want to get an attorney that that can help you with that area because, you know, that can be a little complex. You know, they all claim that they're his wife, although you are the opinion that you know who the real wife is. Well, maybe
I have the documentation.
Yeah, then if you have that, then that should be not. Then the rest of it is just gonna go through probate court. Sounds like.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time.
Very good. Very good. How'd you hear about Freedom Law School, Bobby Ryle?
A friend of mine put me on to you guys. So I've been calling in, checking conference calls and stuff like that. And I'm also, I do a little study myself with the IRS issue and stuff like that. And the way I see it is all based on the IRS processing codes and knowing the difference between wages and income. And I guess I can't sit here and talk too much, but I don't want to take up the whole time and everything. But I'll get back with you if it's an email or something I can send to you or whatever.
No, I don't answer emails.
Oh, okay.
Because
they take
too long to write, too long to proofread. You can't answer a person fully. A lot of times you have to ask a person for additional. What do you mean by your question? Clarify your question. It takes too much. You can't get nothing done. And I don't want to give people snippet answers that are not useful, you know.
I understand.
If your question matters, let's get on the phone with hash it out back and forth until we can. Yeah, like I did with the first call. Anthony had a lot of good questions he had, but I was able to take the time and answer his questions fully. If I would do that by email, there's no way I could get all that stuff that email. It would take me way too long time.
All right, buddy.
Any other questions, Ryle, before I go to see other people that have additional questions?
Thank you. You answered everything.
You're okay. Very good, my friend. Okay, let's go back to Anthony, which I think, who I believe had a little bit more questions. Anthony, you have any more questions that you want to ask me? If so, this is a good time to bring him up again.
I did have a few more questions, but I guess it's surrounding. I looked on your page and you asked us to review some case information with regards to a gentleman. I don't know his name, but I know it's up on your page. And dealing with the three topics you've been covering for the last 3 weeks with regards to the First Amendment right, the Fifth Amendment right, and the Fifth Amendment right, the 16th Amendment right, and then I forget what the other one was. In my review of that, I see a lot of information that you put out with regard to that gentleman's case, and if people want to see it, they can go to the website and see it. Is there a new direction that you're heading, or is it just trying to get us to see that now these things that are considered frivolous, I should say, in court, frivolous arguments that they don't answer, but they're still important for us to know?
Well, it's the reason I put David Gil Martin's criminal case material, he was wrongfully convicted and put in prison. He's doing his federal appeal, is to expose the corruption of our government and in particular the judiciary, you know, how, you know, they, the courts ignore legitimate arguments of law and the issues of law and the law that people like David Gil Martin or Joe Bannister bring to the attention of the court. They just ignore it. They just ignore it by labeling it as frivolous. You know, so it's kind of like the attack they make on your character. They say, oh, you are a this or that, so why should I even listen to you? You know, this, I give one of the, in America, for example, in a communist Soviet Union, they would call you anti-revolutionary. That way you don't have to listen to your arguments. You know, in Iran in 1960s, if you're anti-royalist, anti-Shah, you're a traitor. You don't have to even listen to you. You know, in Western Europe and America, they label you as anti-Semitic, so we don't have to listen to you. You know, you're wrong. You know, just because of the label they put on you. You know, you're anti-revolutionary, you know, and anti-people, anti-government. So that's what the government does. The government in America, sadly, has become that they don't even listen to your arguments because they've already labeled you in their mind that they shouldn't even listen to your issues and questions. So that's what's going on there. I give you another. I think the worst example right now, it's going on in Germany. You know, in Germany, you don't have free speech. Not when it comes to the Holocaust. There's a German grandmother in her 80s who's arguing that, hey, based upon the Auschwitz Museum, where supposedly most of Holocaust took place, according to their own numbers, you know, of this Auschwitz Museum and others, experts and facts, she argues that 6 million Jews did not get killed by the Nazis. And she's just sharing her opinion and research, you know. And for that, they charge her with a crime of inciting hate in Germany and give her a 10-month prison sentence. There's no freedom of speech there. And when she was in court, she told the judge, hey, look, the government got to prove their case that Holocaust happened, you know, in the first place to say that I'm inciting hate, that I'm lying, to incite hate. If I'm telling the truth, how can I be inciting hate? I'm just telling the truth. So a key element of me inciting hate is what I'm saying is a lie. Well, let's prove that what I'm saying is a lie by government proving that the Holocaust actually did happen, which would make my argument a lie. And then maybe you could say I'm inciting hate. But the government never proved the Holocaust in a court. And the judge says we don't have to do that at all. We just take that as a foregone conclusion. Nobody has to prove that. Like a religious dogma that, you know, I have to, you know, prove, you know, they used to say back in the 1500s that Earth is, and before, that Earth is flat. Everybody knew Earth was flat. Looks flat, walks flat. You see, that's what they said way back then. So there's no freedom of speech there in Germany. And I'm afraid that America, you know, we do have First Amendment speech, but that's under attack also. They want to, you know, what they're doing now is they're simply labeling your argument as frivolous. So we don't have to address the issue. So in other words, you can say what you want to say, but we just ignore it. That's all. So that's a different kind of a taking the freedom of speech away. It's like we don't hear you. So that's what's going on there.
So in essence, you're saying you can just label it frivolous, but you don't have to prove that it's frivolous if you are sitting representing the people who are calling it frivolous.
Well, I'm saying the judges, government and judges call it frivolous, but it doesn't make it
That's
frivolous.
That's what I mean. So you don't have to prove it's frivolous by law.
Well, they're supposed to. Of course, they are. They're supposed to explain why is it frivolous. Sure, they are, but they ignore the law because they can. They are the ultimate judges. Who's going to judge the judges themselves? Except we, the people, as Americans, waking up realizing, what the heck? We lost the control of our government. But the average American is too ignorant, too busy struggling to make a living, to pay attention to what's going on to get back our government. They have no idea. They're too dependent upon government nowadays. They got too many people on welfare, food stamps, and Social Security. They're worried more about that than their freedom. That's the sad fact. About a third of Americans now live on some kind of a government benefit, food stamps or subsidies, tax credits. They're afraid they're going to lose all that stuff, so they don't want to upset the apple cart because they get benefits from the system. We're going down the same road that the Roman Empire went, unfortunately, when it got destroyed from within. So what they do, they just ignore you because they can. Not because they have a right to ignore you. They just do it because they got the power to ignore you and label you as frivolous. Does that answer your question, Anthony?
Thank you very much. I'll be emailing you some documentation.
Very good. Okay, folks. Now I'm going to cover the issue that on this conference call, which I promised you earlier, and that's on the third $100,000 income tax reward of Freedom Law School. Okay, and you can find out. You can just on our at livefreenow.org. You find that under education materials. You go to income tax reward. It's there. You can even get on your search engine of your computer, Google, Yahoo, whatever you use, and put on $300,000 income tax reward. It'll come up. And the third $100,000 income tax reward, which I started in 1999, is I give Freedom Law School to give $100,000 to anyone who proves that the 16th Amendment of the United States Constitution, which according to modern American courts permitted the income tax to exist, was lawfully added to the U.S. Constitution. Right? Just provide the proof that the 16th Amendment, what they call the income tax amendment, was lawfully added. Well, this issue of the 16th Amendment was actually specifically studied and documented by a man named Bill Benson. And Joe Bannister talks about Bill Benson's research in his book, which you can get from Freedom Law School, and his video that you can see on our YouTube channel of Joe Bannister. He talks about that. And we have a video on YouTube called The Illegality of the Income Tax, which was a July 1999 debate of Joe Bannister and Bill Benson and others with the government on income tax issue, which the government did not show up. And Bill Benson talks about that also in there. You can watch those videos. And Joe Bannister talks about the issue a little bit, and so will Bill Benson. Okay. But the website that covers that issue in more detail is thelawthatneverwas.com. This is where Bill Benson's website is. So go to thelawthatneverwas.com. Okay? So you go to lawthatneverwas.com. Okay? And this whole website is dedicated to that issue. And you see in there that the defects, there were 10 categories of ways that the states that's supposed to ratify the 16th Amendment did not do so. You see, 3/4 of the states of the Union must adopt the U.S. Constitution or ratify it in order for it to become part of the U.S. Constitution. Well, at the time, there were 48 states in the Union. Hawaii and Alaska were not states yet. 3/4 would have been 36. was needed to ratify the 16th Amendment for it to become part of the U.S. Constitution. And you see on this chart the defects, okay, that had these states, you know, Alabama, you know, all the way down. There's 10 category of defects, okay? And the defects that you see, what are they? Well, number one, they were not ratified by the state legislature as so reported. Wow, that's a big one. That's a big one. In other words, the federal government claimed that this state passed or ratified the 16th Amendment, but it wasn't. Connecticut, Florida, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Utah and Virginia. Okay. Even though they reported that they ratified, they did not. Now, what's the next one? Number two. There were, I stand corrected. The first one is that those states just rejected it. Those states I just listed, they just didn't ratify the 16th Amendment. So that's easy. Everybody agrees on those. Number two is the issue. Number two is that they were not ratified by the state legislature, but reported as ratified. See, number two are those states that the government claimed it was ratified, but they didn't. And those were Wyoming, Tennessee, and Kentucky. They just rejected it. Or didn't, okay. But they were reported as being ratified. That's outright fraud by the federal government. Number three, there are missing or incomplete evidence of ratification, but report as ratified. Essentially the same thing as number two. Number four, failure of governor or other official to sign all that required by state constitution. Well, the constitution of state says that the governor must sign something to become law or be ratified. If the governor does not sign it, then it's not law. Again, the federal government ignored it, and they claimed that 16th Amendment was ratified. Number five is other violation of the state constitution in the ratification process. Each state has separate requirements of how they make or pass laws. If those requirements are not met, the law is not the law. And the 16th Amendment was not ratified by that state because that process was not legally followed. Number six is close to it. There are other procedural irregularities making the ratification doubtful. Okay, so this is the laws of the state requires certain procedures and those particular laws, not the constitution requirements that were violated. And because of that, violations, 16th Amendment was not ratified by that state. Number seven is that the 16th Amendment was supposedly ratified, but with a change in wording. And it was accepted as ratification of the original version. You could not change the wording of the amendments. Otherwise, it's not the same. It's like if I pass law that say, if you make a law that if you steal someone's horse, the penalty is, for that is, let's say, 2 years of jail sentence, right? Well, what if it changes from the horse penalty for stealing your horse to penalty for stealing your car? Will you change one word? Instead of horse, became the car. Okay? Wait a minute. That was not the same law that was proposed. You just change a word. It's not the same law. The text of the 16th Amendment was proposed by Congress to the states. And what the states are supposed to ratify is supposed to be exactly what the Congress proposed. They cannot change anything, the states, but some of them did. Number eight. They approved the 16th Amendment, but with the change in spelling, and it was accepted as ratified. Again, you cannot change the spelling in anything. You cannot change anything whatsoever. Number nine is approval with change in capitalization. Again, you might say these are technical stuff, but law is full of technicalities. Okay. And number 10 is approval of change in punctuation. So even the last three, you might say spelling, capitalization, punctuation are not important, but they are. But even if you put, you know, number 8, 9, and 10 aside, forget about spelling, the capitalization, and punctuation. Just number 2 through number 7 defects, which are clearly glaring ones, you see a large number of states who supposedly ratified the Sixth Amendment did not do so. Okay? So, problem is that the Secretary of State in the federal government, Mr. Knox, fraudulently claimed that the 16th Amendment was ratified, even though it wasn't. So the claim of one man and one day changed or added to the U.S. Constitution. That's what we got. And that's simply a fraud, simply a lie. All this is documented by Mr. Bill Benson. The law never was, but Mr. Benson traveled to all the states, the 48 states that existed at the time of the ratification of the 16th Amendment. He went to state archives and got the actual documents related to the ratification of the 16th Amendment from the state archives. He obtained certified copies of those documents, two of them. And he has those in his possession. And he sent one of them to Joe Bannister, for example, about Kentucky, to show Joe Bannister he's not making this stuff up. And Joe Bannister talks about it in his report about income tax. So this is all documented that actually the Sixth Amendment was not ratified. But what happens? That the government and politicians and the courts don't want to talk about it. That's all. They just don't want to talk about it. They want to ignore it and don't address the issue because, again, to the politicians, to the bureaucrats and the judges in government, it's all about the money. They just want the money. They don't care about the income taxes being collected legally or not. Because remember, the White House economic advisor, Mr. Furman, of Clinton and all, told Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation that the legality of the income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. Wow. Mr. Thief. Mr. Criminal. Working with a bunch of criminal gangsters who take over the government. We got to change all that, folks. So with all this, folks, you know, it's up to us to do something about it. That's why I invite you to get at least the beginning of the Freedom Package, if not our bigger programs, and confront and educate your public servants about all these issues. This is part of Joe Barris's report. Demand that they look at this stuff. Demand that they take action by looking at this information. All this and more is more detailed explained in Joe Barris's report, his speeches, that of Mr. Benson, and the material that Freedom Law School provides to you to have you sent to your House of Representative member and senators to answer. That our Beginner's Freedom Package, our Simple Freedom Package, and the Rural Freedom Package all include this material. It's up to us to confront them. It's up to us to ask them. You see, if you argue this stuff before the IRS, they're going to call you frivolous, okay? So you cannot write to the IRS about this stuff, okay? That's a problem. You cannot write the IRS and about this stuff because they simply ignore you, okay? Also, in the federal courts, okay? The federal courts also will not address this issue. There's a federal law that says you can go to the courts and have them answer any of your questions about your legal responsibilities when it comes to any area of law, about you want to know the Environment and Protection Agency, nuclear regulations, or chemistry, or Food and Drug Administration, you know, all this kind of stuff, you can do that, okay? But income tax, taxes in the only area. The courts are not allowed to claim your rights, to address your rights, to tell you what your rights and duties are about taxes. Isn't that crazy? There's only one area of law that the federal courts are not allowed to tell you exactly what your rights and duties are, and that comes to taxes. So you cannot go to courts either to, you know, get your questions answered. So what choice does that give you? Okay. But with that law, the Declaratory Judgment Act, it's Title 28 of the United States Code, Sections 2201 and 2202. You can go on your website of your on your browser of your computer, type in 28 space USC space 2201. Okay? And it'll come up. Read it for yourself. So you have no choice but to go to legislature. Your House of Representative member and your senators on the only branch of government that you still can go for answers, that you'll not be punished for asking those questions. Okay. In fact, if you ask the courts those questions, the courts can punish you up to $25,000 also for asking what they call a frivolous question. It's all of our duty and our right to write to our House of Representative members and our senators, they call congressmen, and demand that they answer these questions. And I invite every one of you to do so. Write to them. Send them this material. Send them the Joe Banister report, his video, and ask your congressman. I did. I did it myself. I'll tell you about my story about that. Back in 1999, when I printed 10,000 copies of Joe Banister report for him on income tax, I was the guy that arranged it, printing for him. And we literally brought it to our 1999 Freedom Rally where Joe Banister was about to speak for the first time publicly. The night before that, I brought that, the books arrived to the hotel in HM Hotel in Irvine, California. And what I'd done soon thereafter, I went to a local town hall meeting that my House Representative member, Christopher Cox, was talking about. Oh, actually, I mailed it. I mailed it to my Congressman, Christopher Cox. That's right. And my two senators, Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein. Feinstein, they call her, but to me, she's Frankenstein. I wrote all of them, sent them a copy of Joe Banister's report, and I asked them to refute Joe Banister's report on income tax. I didn't get a response from these crooks and criminals and political people. So I found out that Christopher Cox, my congressman at the time, was talking to a local group about something. So I went to that event so I could see him. I saw him, and I spoke to him in person, and I asked him. I gave him another copy of Joe Banister's report. I said, look, here, this, you need to look at this. This is important stuff about the income tax. You know, and so please look at this thing. I wrote to you about it. I gave you a copy to him right there. Never heard back from him either. He never showed me that Joe Banister is wrong. They're too busy making deals, you know, accepting campaign, political campaign contributions, you know, and for special interests that pay them to listen to you, to look at the law and the Constitution. They just don't bother with those things. That's the problem. Okay? So, but guess what? More of us need to do this stuff. More of us need to get on these guys and have them follow the law and the Constitution. So do your part. But not only that gives you, you're doing what the right thing is, but it'll give you a strong defense in case they come after you criminally. First of all, they're not going to want to come after you if they find out that's what you did, like Joe Bannister. And if they do come after you, guess what? You will get to put the government on trial like Joe Bannister would have. Because you rely upon Joe Bannister and his research and his debates with the government, but the government never shows up, as well as the fact that you trying to get answers. You wrote to the government, everybody you could write to you for answers, to be shown if you're wrong. Nobody showed you to be wrong, so you must be right. So according to the law, you must be willfully not having filed to pay income tax if they want to put you in jail. If you're not willful, that means if you don't truly believe that there was no law requirement to file income tax, the jury must acquit you. The jury must let you go. That's the law. And the jury is told that by the judge. So you just showed not only you were not willful about not filing income tax. I mean, in other words, you didn't believe you were required to file, so you could not have been willful. You just simply believe you're not required to file. Nobody told you. Nobody showed you there's a law requiring to file income tax. In fact, you specifically wrote to your House of Representative member and your two senators and asked and demanded that they show you how you and Joe Bannister were wrong. They never showed you you're wrong. So that leads you to believe you must be right. Of course, many of these jurors will recognize you're right, and they're going to say, oh, my God, we've been lied to. We've been deceived. Guess what? There was a guy named Vern Holland, a good patriot, okay? And he was put on trial for tax charters way back in the early 1990s. Vern Holland passed away about 10 years ago. And he is a smart researcher, paralegal. Has his own organization, Freedom Organization, and the jury was a hung jury. It was like 10 or 11 of the jurors would have acquit him out of the 12. Okay, after trial, five of those jurors came and joined Vern Holland's Freedom Organization. They were educated by Vern Holland testifying about the income tax, because Vern Holland was an intelligent man who had done his homework. He wrote a book called The Law That Always Was, and he was able to articulate it to the jury. Okay, now you, if the IRS comes after you, guess what? The homework is done for you here. Okay, it's all the words are spoken for you already by Joe Bannister. It's the letter you wrote to Congress of Senators. It writes everything in there. The video Joe Bannister, an hour and a half, it's there. The jury can see it if they want to. The C-SPAN debate, the jury can see it if they want to, because you got extra copies given to you to give the jury. Same thing you were given to the Congressmen and Senators. You got those, okay? So they got to, you don't have to rely upon your being a good speaker. You put it all in writing. You rely upon other good speakers and researchers that do all the writing and talking for you. Essentially, you can say, here it is. Take a look at the jury. Take a look at my letter I wrote to my Congress of Senators. Take a look at the speech of Joe Bannister, the C-SPAN debate, Bob Scholz, U.S. Today ads, Joe Bannister report, his resignation letters, response to the IRS. All I did. I relied upon all this. They never told me I was wrong. None of them did. Take a look. And those 12 jurors will go in the jury room privately amongst themselves and talk about, well, what are we going to do? We got to see if this person was willful. Did they believe they're required to file and pay income tax? Or they honestly believe they're not required to file income tax? Well, let's see. He says he wrote a letter, a cover letter, sent it to his Congress and senators. Let's go read that letter. Wow, interesting. Well, let's see. What's this what this book and video on US Today ads are? Let's go watch this something. Let's go pop in Joe Bannister's video. Let's see what this Joe Barron's, the guy he keeps talking about, is. What's the story is? An hour and a half video. Can you imagine what's going to happen in that jury room when 12 Americans know nothing about income tax fraud for the first time? They hear Joe Bannister's video. He lays out first, for the first half hour, his credibility, who he is, and how he humbly, very humbly, researches these issues very carefully. He's a very cautious, humble, conservative accountant type. Yay? And he gave the government every chance, every benefit of the doubt, opportunity to show if the income tax really is lawful, if there's a law requiring American to file income tax. The jury, after that, someone going to say, whoa, let's watch another one. Let's watch the C-SPAN debate. Whoa, let's go read that reprint of those USA Today ads that we, the People Foundation, paid for. Whoa. Someone may even go look at Joe Bannister's report and read it. It's about, you know, under 100 pages. It's not a thick book. It's not a complex, like, 20 hours or 50 hours of video. No. All the videos combined are only about 5 hours of video. Okay? 4 full pages of USA Today ad and a book less than 100 pages. And your cover letter, less than 10 pages. Okay? The jury is going to now acquit you. They're going to say you are a hero. They're going to come find out more about this stuff. They're going to say you are the kind of American America was made for. They're going to tell you, you're the kind of American that we need more of. You're the kind of American, Anthony, and every one of you listening to this call, that America needs more of, to stand up for freedom and stand up for America and our rights. You're the kind of America that gave us our freedom like the founding fathers did. The lives and freedom on the line. They will commend you, and they're going to want to join you, because you are the one that opened their eyes to the truth. Folks, are you going to be that kind of a person? Are you going to be at least half as courageous as the founding fathers and take these steps? You don't need to go out there and pick up guns and shoot at the government crooks. No, I'm not saying you should do that. Don't do that. Just send some letters to them. Confront them with their oath. They all took an oath to uphold the Constitution. And give them the documentation with Joe Bannister about, hey, you got to look at this stuff independently and give straight answers to me. Because you're supposed to represent me. You are supposed to be me. Okay, you got to do your job. Folks, I believe if enough Americans do that, you're going to start seeing a difference, folks. You will start making a difference out there. The political atmosphere, the talk will change. It's up to us to do it. I challenge you to do it for yourself. I challenge you and invite you to do it for your children and your grandchildren. What kind of America you want to leave for them? Look at them in the eye and think. Look at your children and your grandchildren. What kind of America you want to leave for them? Are you going to take your steps, do something to make it better? You have an opportunity to do it now. Freedom Law School provides the tools for you to do it. So do it. That's why I want you all to get the Beginner's Freedom Package and get this information out to your congressmen and senators and confront them as soon as you can. It'll help you, it'll help your children and grandchildren, and help America, all of us living a free life in a free country like we're meant to be. So with that, folks, I want to thank you all for listening. I'll be back again with your Commerce Call on the Wednesday the 27th and Thursday the 28th. Tell your friends, family members, coworkers, get on this Commerce Call at the Freedom Law Schools. I'll be answering their questions and doing a class with them about freedom for them every week. Thank you, and hope to be with you again very soon. Come visit us again at livefreenow.org, Freedom Law Schools website.